Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here as always with my friend and my colleague and my co-host, Ross Ferguson. And Ross, we've got some new reviews.
We've got quite a few new reviews.
We've got a backlog of reviews because we haven't read some on the air for a while. So if you've been waiting, you're like, hey, I was guilt-tripped into leaving this review and you haven't even bothered to read it. Today's your day.
If we can get through them all.
This one comes from Last Honest Man. Last Honest Man gives us 5 stars. He says, 5 starts, I think he means stars, for the FTC podcast, in part because Ross came and preached for us in Oregon. He did a great job with Galatians 3, 1 through 5, and was a tremendous blessing to us. I spent time trying to understand his love for Christian movies and pointed him toward Philip Yancey's handling of Babette's Feast, but sadly, no progress was made on that front. The FTC podcast is where I go to be encouraged and equipped to think well about the things that matter most for the church. Thanks so much, Last Honest Man. This review comes from LPKGTR. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure it stands for something. 5 stars. LPKGTR says, this is a fantastic podcast. I loved hearing your take on Halloween and how to celebrate it. Well, if you haven't listened to that episode, go on back. Listen to the Halloween episode.
Did we say to celebrate Halloween?
I think not really, kind of, maybe. Okay.
Interesting. You
know, don't quibble. They gave us 5 stars. This one comes from Rick Messenger 53. Rick Messenger 53, 5 stars, longtime listener, first time reviewer. I waited a long time to write this review. All right, better be a good one. I've tried a couple of avenues over the years to get Jared and Ross to answer the question, if everyone truly hates McDonald's like they say they do, why is there one on every corner? Well, Rick, I don't recall this question ever coming into the mailbag, but maybe it slipped through the cracks. He says, I finally got my answer through a PTC student who texted Ross. He's going to be a great pastor, by the way. He's a real go-getter. I don't know if he means you or the student. Ross said, because everyone likes McDonald's. I was at a 4.9, but this got it to a 5-star rating. Thank you for telling the truth. Seriously, though, love the podcast, and I'm thankful for the resource it has been for the church over the years for both myself and my people. I enjoy the banter as much as the content. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you, Rick. May your tribe increase, people who like the banter as much as the content. Taylor Mack. Taylor Mack gives us 5 stars. I've been a fan of the show for years and have always enjoyed and have been blessed by the content. As a young pastor, it's refreshing to hear such insightful observations given in such a candid manner. And to have someone who shares my dislike of cheesy movies. Thank you, Taylor Mack. I'm with you. Amen, brother. This comes from EMARP, EMARP 2. 5 stars. This year, I attended the FTC conference for the first time. It was a beautiful experience. Would love to come back next year. But 2 highlights of my week were hearing Jared preach and seeing Ross at the car park. I wonder if EMARP is... The car park is a very British way of saying the parking lot or parking cars. You might think I'm joking. Maybe they're just because you're from the UK. You might think I'm joking, but after politely rolling down our window to receive instructions to go to the overflow lot, I turned to my friend and said something like, that's Ross! With true excitement. It was great to see both of you serving the kingdom in real life. Also, I'm not much of a Christian movie person, but there is a new Bonhoeffer movie coming out that I'm hoping will be really good. Maybe check that one out. Thanks for being awesome.
Have you seen Bonhoeffer
yet? I've not seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
It's a Christian movie. I'm staying away.
Oh, come on.
D. Horstman. Oh, we both know who this brother is. D. Horstman is a Spotify listener, but he gives us 5 stars. He says, I've really come to appreciate this podcast, so decided to jump over to Apple so I could leave a review. A friend who is a pastor told me about this show, so I gave it a listen. I'm not much into podcasts, but since starting, I've listened regularly and have even listened to several old recordings. I like how the hosts keep bringing it back to Christ and the gospel as they discuss theology and the practical life of the church. They have a good sense of humor, and the fact that they can disagree with each other in a charitable way makes it encouraging and interesting. Side note, I enjoy the banter about Christian movies and what makes good story. I took a screenwriting class in college, and this has me thinking about film more, which is cool. Definitely recommend to cultivate your heart for the church. 5 stars without question. Thank you, Dustin, so much. Or D. Horstman. Sorry, I shouldn't say his first name, I suppose. But I already did. And this comes from Big Nick 75. Big Nick 75. 5 stars. Love the podcast. the prompt to leave a review if you were a Credo listener to encourage me to finally leave a review. I'm one of those people. And just we'll pause here. There's a previous episode where you said, I wonder what the overlap is
between Credo podcast and FTC podcast.
Yeah, and I said, there probably is not a very big margin. And
turns
you
out
encouraged.
There is a few.
Those people to leave a review so we would know. Okay, press play again. Big Nick says, I love to listen in here because I'm a full-time young senior pastor who is always looking for wisdom. I love Credo because I'm a classical theology nerd too. God bless you guys for all the great work you do at MBTS. Wow, that was really great. Thank you, Big Nick. This comes from TJS4. TJS4. I think the headline is FTC plus Credo equals wise ecclesiology. I don't know. 5 stars, TJS4 says, great podcast with wise gospel insights. I am also one of those FTC and Credo listeners, and I'm here to say that the church needs both of these podcasts' emphases dearly. Carry on for the sake of the gospel sanity and doctrinal fidelity of the body of Christ. This comes finally from J. Alonzo 001. 5 stars. This podcast has been on my regular listening list for a while now. I regularly feel as if I'm sitting in the same room with two good friends as we all try to understand the gospel more clearly. I've been blessed by the conversations between Jared and Ross, and yes, that includes the banter. I decided that I would rate and review the podcast as an early Christmas present, and so that I could stop being considered a freeloader. I do listen to both FTC and Credo and enjoy both for different reasons. The church is served by both in different ways, and I strongly believe the FTC podcast will bless all who listen to it. So truly, it is for the church and for you. Man, that's some good ad copy right there,
that
actually.
Sounds good.
Jay Alonzo, 001, you did a really good job with that last little
so,
bit. For the church and
for
you.
I want to set a new gauntlet down. So the last gauntlet was, who are the Credo and FTC guys? Here's my next gauntlet going down. Which one's better, folks, Credo or FTC?
Well, we all know the answer to that.
FTC.
Now, I'm glad those folks, you know, listened and left a review. We love the reviews. We need some more reviews. Give us, you know, those 5 stars. You will hear your review read on the air. It's a grab bag today.
It's a grab bag.
Are you struggling with questions?
I might be.
I'm starting to, I don't know, this is like the fourth or fifth one of these that we've done.
We might have to sunset the grab bags.
And I've been running out of questions. I may have even been stooping to Googling icebreaker questions
no.
for the fun ones.
I
did that on the last one. I didn't do that on this one.
Maybe I'm just so boring, there's nothing more you need to know about me.
Okay. I think I went first last time.
Okay.
So you go first this time.
Okay. What is the hardest and...
Wait, should I explain what the grab bag is?
I was halfway through my question.
Someone just jumped in. If this is the first one you listen to, the grab bag is when we each bring two questions for the other that are surprise questions. So we don't know what the other one's going to ask. And that's the premise. It's not any more complicated than that. Okay, go ahead.
Well, Jared's already used up his first one by saying, shall we explain what the grab bag is?
Yeah.
So here we go. Are you going to interrupt me this time?
No, I won't.
Okay. What is the hardest and best thing about being a dad?
The hardest and best thing?
Yep.
So are you asking, like, what's the hardest best, as in this one thing?
Hardest and best.
Okay, so two separate things. Okay. The hardest, I think, is just trusting that they're going to continue walking in the faith. I mean, depending on the kid, that may be harder for other folks. But I don't even know if I'm defining hard right. Maybe I'm trying to process this question as you ask it. It's not hard in the sense that, like, I think my kids aren't walking in the faith. It's not hard in the sense that I can't trust the Lord with that. It's just, it's one of those things you can't control.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. When they're in your house growing up, you can. You know, take them to church, you can read them the Bible, you can pray with them, you can give them all the right resources. And of course, you know, discipline-wise, et cetera, there's lots of things you can control. When they leave the house, as, you know, I'm an empty nester, but even before they leave the house, you know, you want your kids to have a genuine saving faith.
Yeah.
And that's not something that you can turn the switch on.
Yeah.
So that's the hardest thing, is just trusting the Lord with them. Not because the Lord can't be trusted, et cetera, but just because you just can't control it. I think that's probably the hardest thing. And now, especially, like, you send them out, right? And both our daughters are walking with the Lord. They attend the same church that they're very active in where they live. So I don't have concerns there. But sending them out is sort of like, okay, now we see. right? Yeah. Is this their own, or was it just, you know, something that they, you know, had to do because mom and dad made them do it? Yeah. I think that's the hardest thing. Mm. You know, there were hard milestones along the way, right? You know, the first day of school where you just, they're not under your eye for, you know, 6 hours or whatever. You know, all those sorts of things. When they start driving, I mean, there's just all sorts of things like, oh, man. There are a lot of hard things, but that's probably the hardest. The best thing in some ways is the same thing, now that I talked through it, is when you see them actually owning the faith, when you see them expressing things of Christ, when you see them active in their church that has no, you know, parental or familial obligation behind it, you know. We're not driving them there. We're not making them do anything. We're not even seeing them do it, you know, day in and day out or week in, week out. And you see that they are pursuing the things of Christ, that's the best.
Yeah.
You know, they're both high achievers in school. One of my daughters was valedictorian. So I had one daughter who was valedictorian her year, another daughter who was salutatorian. I think it's called salutatorian, the second one. And so they, like, their grades were outrageous. They always did, you know, they were high achievers, et cetera. And, you know, I was always proud of them. And those are all great things. But, you know, if they were that and didn't love Jesus, I would be, you know, constantly praying my guts out. And so the fact that they love Jesus is the best thing, I think. Yeah. That's a good question. I kind of had to talk my way through it, but it was good.
Okay.
All right. Help me with yours. My first question for you is, from your days in pastoral ministry, what's your favorite story of gospel transformation? Ooh. Somebody who just, man, Jesus saved that guy.
This is making good podcasting.
Yeah, silence isn't great for the podcast.
I'm thinking through all the years.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was one individual. I won't say their name because I know actually that they might be listening. But there was one individual. This was maybe 7 years into ministry, and they had gone in and out of the church most of their life. So they had gone to Sunday school. They had gone to church on Sundays, but it meant nothing to them, absolutely nothing to them. It was just like, that's what the parents said, kind of going to your answer of your daughters. You know, that was the worrying thing. Got into trouble in late teens, early 20s with drug running, with being in gangs in London. And really was, the way he would phrase it was like, he was looking for a fight, and if he died, he died. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very much, he was up to his eyeballs in kind of low level drug running. And then one day he basically got mugged. They took the drugs off him, and he realized that if he could not find the money fast enough, there was going to be a target on his head. And he was actually essentially chased out of the city, or he would be killed. It was kind of one of those situations where the drug running had gone bad. Mm. So ran out of the city, turned up at a completely different city where his grandmother lived, and basically turned up at the door and said, everything's gone wrong and I need to hide. And in his hiding, he hit rock bottom of realizing his life was a complete and utter mess. And he had gone from like this sweet little kid that went to Sunday school to, he was very close to prison and very close to some fairly evil acts, which he used to respond and talk about, even potentially taking someone's life in this kind of drug running business he was in. And then one day he turned up at our church, and he turned up kind of saying, I'm at rock bottom. In the past, the church has always been good, so I'm hoping the next couple of Sundays I'll feel better. And it literally was, he was just hoping to feel better about himself. On that particular week, I was preaching from the book of Daniel, and I was talking on that particular week about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And I talked about, I kind of left a question hanging off, is your faith in Christ so rock solid you would walk through the fire? And then I flipped it off, because Christ is so rock solid that he will walk through the fire for you. Mm. And this kind of touched this guy off, like, I've never had someone do that. In fact, the second I made a mistake, I was ran out of the city, and I'm now fearful that they'll find who I am, changed his name, everything like this. So he came back the next week and the next week and the next week. And he came through the entire Daniel series. I preached 23 sermons in the Daniel series. And then on the very last sermon of the Daniel series, I painted a picture of two sides of the story. This is the site that is damned. This is the site that will be destroyed. This is the site that you should be shaking in your boots and terrified to be upon, and very clear of, because of your sin, this is where you are. And he said to me afterwards that as he was listening through that sermon, he realized entirely that is where I have sat. I have sat on the wrong side the whole of my life. And I've gone to the depth of drug running, possibly taking people's lives, like going through his mind. I am on that side. And he said he started crying in the sermon because he realized that's me. I'm done for. And to him, he had written everything off. Like, he might as well go and kill himself after that sermon. Wow. And then I switched to the second half, which was, and here's the side that wins. And you win not because of yourself, but because of Christ. And then big fool kind of gospel presentation at the end of the book of Daniel. He came to me after, I was like 2 days after the service, and just said, how is it possible? How can I go from one side to the other? Like, he in his view, he was so bad. How could he ever go to the other side? So a wonderful time with him, prayed for him. He was super convicted. I think in that meeting gave his life to Christ in that meeting. I don't think he fully understood in that moment, but what happened in the following year from that, he went from this muscly, I'll beat you up if you do anything wrong against me, drug running, serious crime type guy, to a gentle, loving, wow, well-spoken young man. Started taking care of his grandmother's yard, started doing yard work for older members in the church, would turn up early to every service, served in our homeless ministries. And then one day he just came to me and said, I think Christ has transformed me. I think I need to be baptized. Yeah. I think it's time. I don't know how it happened, but I've changed sides. And so I had the wonderful blessing of baptizing. Now, he was really scared. He was really nervous because he said, this is all new. I've never lived a good life. I don't know how to do this. And I remember our church, we asked to share testimonies in front of the church before you get baptized. I want them to profess verbally in front of the church their testimony. And I remember the audible gasp when he said in church, I dealt drugs. I was a drug runner, because everyone saw someone very different on that platform. And so I baptized him, and I still keep in contact with him. And he is doing wonderful things for Christ. He is big into evangelism. He goes into the worst areas of that city. And the city I'm thinking about, I mean, it is bad in these areas. And he just waltzes in with gospel tracks and be like, do you know I used to deal drugs? And this is how it's changed my life. Phenomenal change. And it's just that reminder of, even the ones contemplating murdering other people can be saved by Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So wonderful, wonderful environment.
It's very Pauline.
Oh, yeah.
A total turnaround.
He was also utterly terrifying. I went to the gym a couple of times with him, and when he was doing boxing, I was like, I don't know why you got run out of a city, because I'm going nowhere near you. So yeah, wonderful though.
Okay,
so this is kind of like a bucket list question, but slightly in reverse.
Okay.
So there you go.
Before I'm born?
Is there something that you wished you had done, but you feel the time might have passed to do it? So it's not quite a regret, but, you know, is there something that you wish you had done in past life? Kind of like a bucket list looking back. Oh, I wish I had done that. But you think the time is kind of over. You're not going to be able to do it.
Oh, that part of the question kind of throws me off. There's only, one thing that comes to mind, but which was, I wish in some ways I had done seminary or earlier. But I have done seminary.
You have done it now.
So that part doesn't work. Yeah. But I wish, like, right out of college that perhaps I'd done seminary. I don't know, man. This is the peril of the grab bag. Like, when you don't know the answer to the question and you're having to think through. No, I'm pretty content.
Pretty content.
Yeah.
That's a good thing we did an episode on contentment.
I know, yeah. There are regrets, obviously. I caused a bunch of regrets.
Yeah.
But in terms of just something that's not quite a regret, but just something, I wish I'd accomplished that. And now it's too late. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, you know, in the early days of writing, I was trying to be, you know, I wanted to be a novelist. That, you know, that was my original aspiration as a writer, and got my first agent with a novel, but never got published as a novelist. And then, you know, I've had two novels published, but it was after, you know, my nonfiction sort of career began. And, you know, sometimes I've wondered, like, if I had just I mean, it was like, I mean, I was, you know, trying to write for probably 10 years or so before I got published. But yeah, if I'd stuck with that, could I have been a novelist? Would I have, you know, and now obviously I can't, you can't start over.
Yeah.
So I still would like to write novels in the future.
But you can't
but
also
could I have been a novelist as a career? That may be the best answer to the question. I don't know. Yeah. That's a really, it's a good question. My mind went into a lot of, you know, depressing places.
So. Yeah, and that's why I
didn't want to be depressing.
That's why it's not a, like a regret thing. I'm not, because I think there's lots of things in our lives when we look back, we're like, oh man, I wish I hadn't done that.
Right.
But it's more, there's some things that sometimes you wish. Do you know what mine is? The reason I asked this question is because I know exactly what mine is. I had an opportunity to play semi-professional soccer, football.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't go for it because at the time, just life wasn't phenomenal. And I decided not to do it. And I've always looked back and thought, man, I think that would have been really good to do. And I am too old, too overweight.
Never say never.
Well, I don't think someone's going to pick up someone in their mid-30s to play semi-pro football.
Well, that's probably true. Here's my question. It's a fun one, I think. So you love Christian movies. You've asked me before since I hate Christian movies, to what should they be? Or you asked me like to write one or think of like what's the idea for one.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, what's the next Christian movie you would like to see based on a true story?
Oh, based on a true story. Like,
they should make a Christian movie about blank, either a person or an event, and who should it star?
Oh, I don't know if I've ever thought at this level.
This actor needs to get saved and play this part.
Based on a true story. I would love to see some form of Christian movie in a political world.
Oh, really? Okay.
Of a Christian making a difference in politics. Promise, I can't think of a Christian that's made a difference in politics.
I mean, in politics, I don't know, like Chuck Colson comes to mind. There's probably been some kind of...
I think I would love to see something like that, a wide sweeping difference like that. Honestly, I think the thing that immediately came to my mind was the Queen and how there's multiple programs being done on the Queen. The one called The Crown, the Netflix did, and, you know, lots of movies, lots of famous people in them. Very few have concentrated on her faith. They've mentioned it. It's been obvious in there, but very few have concentrated on her faith. I would love to see memoirs and maybe somebody really delve into it. Maybe even not that the Queen herself is the focus of the movie, but all the staff around her or something like that, or even from the minister's perspective of the minister that has to preach every Sunday to the Queen, and even just like how do you guide the royal family through scripture or
the
something like that.
The pastor and the Queen.
The pastor and the Queen. Something like that. And who would... So that's what I'm thinking. Rather than having the Queen the focus, have the pastor as the focus or something like that. I have no idea. Idea who should play that.
Okay.
I mean, if you stick in the Christian world, it's probably going to be a Kendrick brother that probably plays it, isn't it? So the older Kendrick brother, but he's American, so it needs to be someone British. So I don't know.
It doesn't have to be in the Christian movie world. Like somebody would get saved and then they.
I mean, David Tennant.
Okay.
David Tennant playing a pastor preaching to the Queen. I think David Tennant, I just love him as an actor. I think he's really good.
Okay.
He was in Doctor Who and Broadchurch and lots of different other programs. But yeah, I think that's probably something I would be interested in.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good answer.
That was kind of hard.
I was thinking how I would love to see, you know, the only Christian movie that I have liked, I'll say it's good, not great, in the last number of years, was Jesus Revolution.
You said it was great when we saw it.
Did I say it was great? Yes. I don't think I said it was great.
Over time.
I don't think I would say that.
Yeah, you said it was the best Christian movie.
It was the best Christian movie, but like, you know, comparatively, you don't have to be that great to be the best Christian movie. On that note, I would love to see like the Keith Green story or the Larry Norman story, because both of them have really... dramatic, you know, stories and you know, in different ways, but it would be neat. And you know, the Larry Norman would be almost kind of like a Bob Dylan-esque kind of thing. You could do something really dramatic if you had a good actor and good writing. But anyway, I thought it'd be good. Well, that was our grab bag. We got through it.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe. I feel like we should sunset the grab bag.
You think so?
Yeah. I think we need to replace it with something. So we've got the mail bag, the grab bag. What other bag can we have?
I don't know. it's in the bag. You know what we'd also love to have in the bag? Your reviews.
Oh, nice.
Give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church. You've been listening to the For the Church podcast, hosted by Jared Wilson, found online at ftc.co. This resource is brought to you by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, where we train leaders for the church.